Ah, this water is rather chilly. Excuse me, sir. This water is far too cold for bathing. Ah, lovely. And some aromatic herbs to go with it. Ah, this is wonderful. See, I told you not to worry. Life doesn't get much sweeter than this. Lovely view of the temple as well. Right, since we're going to be enjoying this air for a while, we must continue with the news of love.
Okay, and welcome back. It's time to talk about
the LARP proper.
The LARP proper, right? Yeah. Let's talk about
that
it.
That LARP be proper, sir.
Oh, that LARP be proper. Well, right, so we did the traditional, everyone stayed at my house on Thursday.
Yeah.
I was a little jet lagged, so no late night for me. I literally popped a natural sleeping pill, went to bed about 10 o'clock, and I slept through till about 10, didn't I?
I have to say, actually, considering you, the jet lag you must have had, you did amazing for the whole
jet
event.
Jet lag, usually that, I was in the States, flew back from the States. It's usually brutal, right? Yeah, like this time around, that's how you do it. You just stay awake and then drop one of those bad boy sleeping tablets and bam, 12 hours and I was good to go.
You did great. And I mean, you were high performance all event.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Really. A little bit too much at times.
I thought it was great.
We were, I mentioned in the last one, some people don't listen to the pre-LARP, but I was at altitude. So bear in mind, like for the entire thing, and bear in mind I'm on a fitness binge at the moment, I was born to run. That's what I was.
It's like doing altitude training, right?
Man, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Right, so we stay over at mine.
Yep.
Ian sets off in the morning.
Yeah, so I set off first.
So we're initially thinking, Ian's up to something.
Well, you set off pretty sharply, so I thought you were literally up to something when you went off.
Yeah. No, I just thought, like, I want to get all the tent stuff and stuff done.
See, this is what happens when you keep things from us. It makes everything you do look suspicious.
Yeah.
You got a little bit of suspense, lads.
Yeah, but we don't know what's. It's a web, Ian. It's a web. I don't know what's real anymore.
But so I just wanted to get down there early with the tent and sort of. That sounds awful, but I kind of almost want to stake our spot. Like, I think everybody super respectful about. You know where certain people go and things. And I don't mean it like a beach towel kind of way, but I kind of I really like
the space. It sounds very beach towel.
Yeah. I know, it's awful. But so basically, I just want to get there.
For the record,
and bank the
we
spot.
Camp at the back of the Navarre camp, and it's like it's not prime real estate.
No.
This is not, no one's going, man, I wish I had that sweet spot.
I know, it makes no sense.
I like it though. You like it that much.
Like,
that
I would happily give it up. If I turned up and someone else was in our spot, I'd happily give it up. It's just, I really enjoy that spot. And I guess that spot almost has like emotional attachment to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, it's cool. So that was kind of the thing. So I just got down. I got down early and set up the tent. I've done it a few times.
Hold on. Meanwhile, me and Bung, we said to you, we'll be right behind you. We might have watched. We were watching Joe Rogan animated clips.
Oh,
we
were watching the JRE animation.
We pressed play on a playlist, and then a lot of time went by. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, I need to have a shower and get moving. So we eventually did. By the time we got there, oh, here's one thing. This is a. So I want to start something, right?
Right.
So you know when you drive up. So you drive down this. Out into the little bit of the countryside, you go out through a village, then suddenly you follow the signs, and then you keep going down this track, and then there's this campsite, right?
Right.
I'm meeting you there, are lovely young people who are like, hi there, what's your name or your PD number or whatever? Yeah. And I always forget mine, so they were just like, no, I had mine this time.
Yeah.
And I, so they said, oh, here's your number, put it in the thing, I'll drive up there.
Yeah.
So do you know what I did?
What?
I had my beers that I just bought down in the low well for the passenger seat.
Right.
So I reached down there, grabbed a beer out of there. And I just suggestively waved it in front of the chap that was serving me. He took it and went, oh, that's a nice lunch beer right there. So I like the idea now. I'm going to give away, which is 10% of my beer that I bought. I'm going to try and give a beer to whoever's thing. I like the idea of them having a pile of beer by the time they're done. I mean, they're just
A weekend's
really,
beer.
Another beer? Can you not get a Perry or a cider or a mead? Yeah. You know, like Jesus.
All of PD actually, just in general, like all of the people
volunteers. Most of them are volunteers.
That's
by the
crazy thing, right? Yeah. Most of them are volunteers, and if you like all those kind of odd roles, like the egregores that are kind of like player slash sort of linked to PD in certain ways, and it's kind of like that's really interesting, and like people would give their game that way, and support other people in that way. It's really good.
People love it, man. And we bumped into a few people throughout the weekend.
And they're amazing.
Actually, I'll get to that, actually. So, yeah, and then we basically drove up, parked up, grabbed most of our gear, took a couple of loads. Yeah. We walk up to the camp.
Yeah.
It's already set up. You took out that whole tent by yourself. Amazing.
I mean, like, that was... So, I've done it a few times. Obviously, I'm not the kind of guy you would expect to be able to be able to put up a tent and take it down again. I'm not in any way that kind of guy. But, like, so I've done it a few times now, so that's... It's good to be able to get up there and set it up.
I was very impressed, weren't we?
Yeah, very impressed.
And, but while I was setting up, this guy was walking to obviously do the same just around the big track behind the farm. He literally just got hit in the head by a wasp or something.
What?
They literally flew straight into his eye. And like, you know, he was visibly in pain on the road behind us. So I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I just brought him down, sat him down on one of our chairs, you know, because I had those free chairs and folded out and gave him some water and stuff. I'm making it sound like it was a massive emergency. It wasn't literally
a bug. You're a hero.
No, but it was kind of like...
All heroes wear capes, Ian.
No, but it was like,
and
it was cool.
There were four chairs at the time.
But like everybody, it was just like, it was really nice people. It was just nice to have a little interaction. And like, I hope that guy had a really good event. Like, you know, he seemed fine and everything, but he just sort of walked off and went about his day. But I hope he had a really good event.
Wow.
Really lovely guy. But
Well, you got a curse on him or something? Why does a wasp just attack a person like that?
I literally, like, once I've been driving my car and a wasp has flown into the in and landed in the space between my glasses and my eye.
Oh, so you're saying that he might you've got a curse,
yeah,
and your bee curse or wasp curse affected that poor man.
But anyway, so I got I don't even know how to address that. So I got this tent set up and you guys all turned up and you helped me with the awning and like we had
I was eating a sandwich.
Yeah, I helped with the awning.
That's it, yes.
I was eating a sandwich. And then I had to put down my sandwich halfway through.
I was an arsehole, I'm sorry about that.
No, it's fine. Yeah. I'm just saying, just if I'm eating, just it's 5 minutes, just I'll be alright. Just let me finish it.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Would you take a food bowl away from a dog, Ian? Bet you're that sort of guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Scumbag. Right, so not only Bung rejoined us, which was fantastic, but we also had our good friend Dave, who I talked about in the first season.
Yeah, Dave.
He's already started his whole good Dave bollocks, which is really annoying because it's like, oh, everyone loves Dave. not me, Dave, not the person who's bringing all these nice people together. No, it's fucking Dave's great. Isn't Dave great? Oh, Dave's like to me, oh, the guys are great.
But just to get your opinion on it,
like,
Dave.
Well, fuck me then.
Is Dave great?
He is awesome. I'm team Dave. If he didn't have my name, then I would be upset. But
yes, he turned up and... I was a bit worried, like, because he'd had obviously no contact with any of us.
Nope.
He's literally had a kid recently.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, how much is he going to get ready? Like, I didn't know what kind of armor he had and what kind of gear he had. I'm the kind of person who constantly worries. Like,
yeah,
I'm like a terrible mother.
I
just don't want people to turn up and then just, you know, not feel comfortable and stuff. Like, I would happily. Like, I literally got more soft kits, so it could be like, you know, if it doesn't...
Well, you
know,
do. You literally, half my kit is stuff you've given me.
But it's like...
It's great to be around him, by the way.
But he turned up and he had everything sorted. His tent was legit. Like,
his tent,
cool.
He didn't have a tent. He had a thing that he could sleep under. It was like a tarp almost.
He held up by a walking stick and he had a bivy inside covered by...
It was pretty cool though. Yeah, right? I was happy with our tent, but I thought, if I was more of a man, then that looks like a great time.
So this is number one of why new Dave is good Dave.
Yeah.
He's better and he's taller, he's better looking, he's... it's annoying. He's
and by
funny.
Amazing coincidence, he had exactly the same armour. That's me.
Yeah.
Do you know what's... And the other guy showed up at some point and was like, hey, I didn't know... what you guys should have said, we're all dressed as the same
thing. Yeah, the three of us all in the same armour. That was just before
the monstering. But what was interesting was... I'll say this now because I'm thinking about it. But one of the guys that we met while we were out there LARPing this weekend, said to us, oh, you guys all know each other. I'm like, oh, no, Dave, he met... these two on Friday. Like, yeah. we haven't, but we worked as like a, we were striding for sure. All of all four of us, we all got on really well, and and it was just a good vibe all throughout, right?
Oh yeah, just fantastic. And I feel like the Ashbourne as a thing kind of was a lot more solid this time around.
Well, it's also like understanding different characters can join your group and it will change the meaning of it. And well, it's really good. It's
as
really
we got through this, we also started even talking about maybe potentially bringing, you know, people outside, people we meet at LARP, the idea of bringing somebody... I know. You're
hold your horses. We got to...
I want to talk about mainly off...
what do you think? Do you not want to talk about it?
No, I'm happy to talk about it. But it's like, I think... Like, that was just something I wanted to do.
Talk about it, but not now. We'll talk about it towards the end of the episode. Right, so Dave was new, but he didn't have any weapons with him.
No.
So this is something that really... This is becoming a bit of a tradition, and it's like, I don't know whether anyone else does this, but a person finding their first weapon is...
Yeah.
If I wasn't hyped for the LARP, doing this whole process got me so game face on, like I was ready to LARP after this. So we're like, oh yeah, I still feel like a noob, right?
Oh, massive noob.
But we're there showing Dave the ropes.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to actually point stuff out. Right?
And be like, but we were like, oh yeah, do this and this and that such and such and this is what's going on and blah, blah, blah. And like... We were like, man, I'm such a little rule like person now. I'm like, oh, you can't do this, you can do this.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I hope not. But there's a lot to talk about.
No, it's more just you just point stuff out, right? Mm. And it's just like having a bit of knowledge is really useful. And it's like,
and we do have a little knowledge,
a little, a tiny,
a morsel.
Yeah.
So we take Dave down to where they have like a row of tents that make up like a almost like an avenue where it's like different shops down each side. Mm-hmm. So we head down there and he just starts looking around. And I went back to my peeps at Irregular Props.
Yes.
That's where and we literally stopped there again. And I was just like, you can't go that wrong with some of the stuff that you got in here, you know, like, and we just started looking around. And basically I didn't go there to necessarily buy immediately, but I was just like, what you need to do is start looking around and just pick stuff up.
Yeah.
Right. Let you guide, just let it happen.
It is like process. In the Hollywood movies where the weapon
so
chooses you.
It's fucking cool. Shit. Like,
and it was like, because he, there was a bit where we were standing and we were watching Dave choosing his sword.
Oh, yeah, we introduced him to a couple of bits and then we just left him, right? Yeah.
And so we were standing back and then he picked one up. And I remember you said to me, Dave, you said, he thinks that's the weapon, but it's not the one.
It's not the weapon, Ian.
And then you were right. Then it was the next one he picked up.
Yeah, because he was walking around with it. I think it was a mace, wasn't it? And he was like, really? Oh, yeah, a mace, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, it's not the weapon. He thinks it is. Bless his little heart. That's what he thinks that's what it's
and
not.
And then he got himself a little swashbuckling sort of cutlass.
He found it, didn't he?
Cutlass.
Yeah. Also, do you know the way that he put that one down and came back to it again?
Yeah.
And that's when you know that he's like,
he's tempted. He's really tempted.
There's blood in the water. He's well, interested. And then...
what we're looking for that was when I spotted the mallet. Well, no, I was looking at hammers.
I actually... I was bad. I'm a bad man. I took Bungle browsing.
Well, so bad.
Well, when you were a guest on my podcast, you... So told me, this is what got me into actually wanting to go to LARP, was you told me about it, and I just, while there, grabbed out my iPad and I started looking at weapons and found so many beautiful Warhammers. I was like, I am getting a Warhammer and I am coming.
That's yeah.
Good shit. And then I went ambidextrous with two swords.
Yeah, which is slightly
different. I did not expect that at all, actually.
That was because I found a beautiful scabbard for it, and it's like...
You look amazing, by the way.
But then so I look around and... Just looking at some of the hammers and stuff like that, and it's like, then we come across the mallet. And it was just like, that's really nice. Wield it about a bit. And it's like,
I'm handing it to him.
Yeah,
it's so bad.
Going, look at the weight on that.
Oh, that looks good. Oh. That looks good. That looks really.
Oh, you look
good.
Fucking cool. Hold it.
I pushed it so bad.
You didn't even let him pick Ian.
No, but it's just like, I can't justify getting this. This is fucking amazing, but I can't justify it just yet. So I put it back. Boom, and then we go back, obviously,
and
to...
It became like a running joke in the group, because we all knew he was going to get it.
Yeah.
So everybody kept saying to him, Bungle, you're thinking about that hammer again.
Yeah. Honestly, Bung, if you're going to get it, mate, like, you don't want to get it on Sunday. You're like, you want to take that out for a spin, right? You don't want to just buy it on the last day. That seems ridiculous. Yeah, anyway, going back to Dave and his trying to find it. So he just selected this like pirate like
sword.
And this guy walking past, I think his name was Mark. I'm going to go with Mark.
Yeah, he works for one of the other weapons shops.
Yeah, okay. So he walks past and he just starts going, and because he's hearing me chat on with Dave about what weapon to pick and all this stuff like this, and we're having fun with it. And he was like, oh, yeah. And he said, yeah, one thing that you should really do is try it out, you know? And he's, so Dave's there and he's swishing this sword around and he goes, all right, yeah. And the other guy grabs a sword.
Yeah.
And then they head out to the actual like main strip. And he goes, well, just hit me with it. Just hit me with it on the side. So Dave starts doing these flurries and bashing him on the side. And he's like,
it was so good.
He's like, oh, see, he says, all right, good. And he goes, hey, are you ready? And he goes, what? And he goes, are you ready? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, on guard. And he just literally goes into a fighting stance.
Yeah.
And it's just so sword versus sword, no shields, just like one-handed weapons. And they just kind of had this little sparring thing. And you could see Dave learning so fast.
Yeah.
Like
he
learned like,
The other guy had legit like HEMA training. Like but the other, things he was doing were kind of
great. But he also it was like a master fucking swordsman. Like,
don't stop and hit. Carry through slash.
Yeah. And then when they started to bing bing bing
beautiful
bing,
stroke it was action.
I'm making bing sounds. As that's how my memory's seeing it. But it was they're silicon weapons. But,
it's kind of like what he kind of displayed was kind of like a fighting style that works. In that context, it's like when you get on the battlefield, it's gonna be different from that. And I think that Dave went through another learning process when you get on the battlefield and you're suddenly facing up against three different threats simultaneously. But that experience of just open, reckless, abandoned combat,
you saw it grow in him like immediately. And when Dave first came, he still looked nervous as fuck. This is an extremely confident guy who's used to all sorts of things, he looked nervous. But you could see his confidence grow. And bear in mind, he's doing this, and there's people everywhere watching this stuff. But it's cool. It's part of the event, right? This is what's nice about this, is kind of like you ever so often see these little scenes play out. And it was, Dave, that was when the moment changed for him. He was in at that stage, right?
Yeah, I think like when you hold that weapon, I mean, even if you're almost like a non-combat character, I just think having a weapon, like... It's the ultimate symbol of being in another age, right? Like,
Ian, can you just pass my sword, please?
Yeah.
Let me just have a wee look at this. Love it! Man. Look at that bad boy. Conan the fucking Barbarian would be happy to wield this bad boy into battle.
But, it's amazing. And I think, it's a fantastic sort of feeling just to own a sword. And I think it gives you that thing that is LARP.
Yeah, it created character. Like, I first got my axe and I was like, I still carry my axe. Yeah. My raggedy axe is part of my character. It's important to
who
he is.
It's kind of like casual side sword, right? Or your casual side weapon.
Yeah, it's the old reliable.
Yeah.
Right? Like, for the back in the day when we were in Hordaland.
Yeah.
Out, like, skirmishing and all that sort of stuff. That would be wonderful. Like, charging out the bushes and smacking a guy in the head, right?
Yeah.
Pitch battles? Well, that's when I go to this bad boy here, Ian.
What I love about it is I have this image in my head of Ifan, like, facing the last and greatest possible challenge, the thing he knows that will probably kill him. And he has both his weapons and he can only pick one. And then he goes out with the axe.
The old
That's
reliable.
Kind of what I have in my mind.
The ugly.
When it all downed the very nuts and bolts of existence, he would take the axe.
It doesn't cut. Its weight just smacks into things, you know? Like, fantastic. Yeah, as you can tell, like, interesting, we were talking like this, right? That's, if going back from the first, when we first went, how we're interacting with our characters in the world that we live in now is totally different.
Yeah.
I think that was something quite jarring for you, like, I'm talking to Bungle here, when you first came in. It was just like, because
I'm missing one session without you guys. Like, the amount of connections you guys have made, and it was like, a lot of this, I'm just sitting back and observing what's going on. And it took me a while to sort of get back into the whole flow of things.
And it almost takes you a whole second event. Not only does it take your first event to even, like, the first event is like understanding what LARP is and could potentially be. The second event is just like getting you fleshed in and in it.
But
and then
now
in the third event, you feel a lot more confident.
Meeting people and being known in the world and people knowing you and you knowing people is a wonderful way just to immediately make you feel more comfortable.
Yes.
Like, and it also reminds you, like, when I see Big D and he's like, Ifan, how are you? And he's like, you know, really welcome. I'm just like, That's fucking right. I'm Ifan fucking Ashbourne. Like, you don't... you know what I mean? Like, he should be pleased to see me and I'm pleased to see him and we're battling brothers. You know what I mean? Like, that's who we are to each other. You know, and we have a really good time. That's who we are. We laugh in the face of danger. That's who we are, you know?
We had amazing interactions with Big D all the time.
Save that for Saturday, because that's when I had a massive interactions with Big D. Then again on Sunday as well.
Yes.
So
I can... Yeah, fuck. I should say now, I'm going to mention it again, but I didn't get to do the battle on Sunday. We'll explain a little why later on. But yeah.
Yes, there'll be like... I guess we'll kind of talk more about that.
God damn, it sounded awesome, though. Yeah, it was right, incredible. So Friday... So go time in. Like, what was it like timing in for you again?
The other thing I just wanted to quickly just go into is one thing David brought with him that was incredible was a brazier and the brazier! Grill. And so all of a sudden,
For those of you that don't know what a brazier is, it's a metal thing that you can keep fire in.
Yeah. But it had a grill that could go on the top.
Yeah.
The prospect of having heat and the potential to make hot food.
Yeah, don't fuck around with fire if you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah.
No. But man, having that, and also having, I think it helps. There's four of us going now.
Yeah.
Dave's brother's interested in going. We've got another friend that's interested. I have a couple of people that I'm speaking to now that I'm literally using the podcast as a fucking pushing tool. I'm like, you like geeky shit, do you? Well, here's a fucking link to our podcast. You can listen to me rant on with my friends. And then they're like, one guy at work called Bill, he was like, we were talking about it, and he said, I might be interested in it. I was like, hey, dude, listen to the podcast. He fucking smashed the lot, son. He works with me, and he listened to the ridiculous. Anyway, he's interested. But, sorry, I digress. Where were we? What were you saying?
So that was it. I was just basically saying just the idea of going into an event, having heat and having hot food. Like that, last time it was having the awning, but this time... having the heat and the food it's bumped up. We've gone to another level of camp. It's so good.
Let's talk about it now. We had breakfast on the Saturday morning and Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had there was bacon and sausage, wasn't there?
No, bacon and burgers.
Bacon and burgers, that was it. And it was just fire was really, really great for RP, hang around it, the heat, and just getting hot food in you is... Oh. Absolutely
incredible,
brilliant, right?
And being able to do it yourself, is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, because I think the I can't remember the name of the sort of tavern, the IC.
Which one? The Moorish place.
Morkish.
That
opens reasonably early.
It's really busy. We tried to go in there and it was just the queue was coming out the door. So. Not that I'm saying that the podcast made this happen, but it's really busy. It was always really busy, right? Whenever we went, we were so ravenously hungry, we needed to eat right there and then, right? So this time around, we went to a lot of the food vendors, which were, again, fucking awesome.
Yeah, amazing.
Man, that chicken curry that I got from four
really
giant
good.
Chunks of chicken in it, actual thighs or whatever.
Yeah, it was legit. It was actually normally you'd accept to get one, you know what I mean? But they gave you four. It was great.
But no, that's basically what we're doing. I really like next time we go, I want to bring coolers with ice, and then I want to basically pack out and get a chili or a curry or something we can just cook up on the fire and just keep everything cold and just have food for a lot of the weekend. I think it'll be a good opportunity to take a break and also get food.
But I think the other thing, the massive thing, is just having the fire, and I found this throughout the whole event, and having the chairs meant that we could legitimately sit outside of our area and people would actually come up to us, and interact with us. And that was amazing. Just being able to have people come and find us. Because we actually have somewhere to sit. Yeah, it happened a bunch of times. That
was
really nice.
Yeah, it was nice to have somewhere to sit and relax and kind of just be in character.
Because you kind of take these breaks, right? You kind of go somewhere, do something, come back, sit down, right? And then you go out and do something else and come back and sit down. And it's kind of a nice way to kind of relax and chill out. And you enjoy the event. It's great.
Yeah. All right, let's go to time in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We go to we hang around for a bit. We go to the standing. Standing was cool, right?
Standing was great. I mean, I guess the one thing was we heard about a possibility of a competition.
Oh, yeah, the fucking competition.
Yeah.
Right? So we're...
That's on Saturday, wasn't it?
The yeah, that was like...
But like they told you about that it was going to happen.
Yeah,
on
and
the,
we were yeah. like, okay, so the competition is a yearly thing that takes place between Navarre and Dawn.
Yeah.
Dawn are like, they're all about the glory and they wear like yeah. armor yeah. and they've kind of like got... They have like knight type people, and then yeah. they also have like people squires that look after them, and squires and stewards.
Yeah.
Are they called?
It's kind
stewards?
Of that, like yeah. almost sort of King Arthurian kind of Arthurian,
yeah,
kind of
totally.
Nation.
Yeah. And we've had like little interactions with them. I quite like Dawn. I actually now.
Yeah,
like,
I dig Dawn.
I have complicated views about Dawn.
Yeah.
now
I think like I think like I love all the nations in their own way. I mean, like, I have favourite nations, like nations I really like visiting
nations
and stuff.
Nations are fucking so
but I take the League is a really interesting one. It's like, there's kind of going there and it's like, this time around we had a great time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But last time our character, and this was like, actually last time we had an amazing time with the play, but as an interaction, that was an amazing thing. And then this time we went there and,
well,
yeah, it was
great. Well, okay, so what we're talking about, the competition is between Dawn and Navarre. They do it once a year, and basically for the prize of a herb garden or something
yes.
that produces herbs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's
so when Dave arrived, he randomly picked his skills and occupation, and he accidentally, or deliberately, I don't know, picked
yeah.
the herbs, right?
Yeah.
So Ian's a physic. He likes herbs. He's getting herbs
yeah.
in anyway. Extra herbs, like... Herbs is kind of where we're going in
yeah.
the money game, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're that's kind of we can really
yeah,
start rocking that.
Dave's
shit.
Also got a apothecary as well, hasn't
yes,
he?
Yes, that's
skill.
A massive thing.
That's
actually,
very beneficial because,
yeah,
obviously, we
start,
need to, he needs
yes.
to learn.
We need
yeah.
to, yeah,
well,
we
well,
need to, yeah.
I've actually taken apothecary now as well.
Oh.
The idea, what we've both decided,
oh, Mr. Fancy Pants, Mr. Apothecary.
We've decided that we'll both, because then after that, you can take additional skills that will let you expand the repertoire of things that you can make. So with us both going this way, next time we can both branch off in different ways, and we could actually
ooh.
Turn into like a collective of people who can brew quite a variety
oh,
of potions.
My goodness.
So, because by the way, apothecary is basically you can transmit herbs essentially into potions, like, you know, free herbs will make you a potion, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's kind of cool just to be able to make that. So it could be like a potion that gives you a hit point back, or a potion that restores a limb.
Mm.
And things like that. But later on, you can go into other areas, which could be anything from a potion that will imbue you with the power of spring to a potion that will kill you in 30 minutes.
You can make a potion that will kill a person in 30 minutes.
And it gives them all these role-playing effects. So you can go down different options. You could be like an assassin-y type person, or you could be like a, you know, it's just like an empowering, kind of healing kind of thing. There's loads of stuff like that. It's kind of really interesting.
Oh,
like, it's
awesome.
An interesting train to go down, so...
So needless to say, we were very interested in winning and being part of this whole competition, right?
Yeah.
So the guy who was organizing it said, anyone that wants to do it, come and see me afterwards. And we were in the crowd and we were just looking at each other like,
yeah,
it's on. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, it's on like it's Donkey Kong.
And it was kind of sold as like, there may be fighting.
Yeah, bring your weapons along,
bring your
right?
weapons. Was that,
we
so
should,
like really
we should
exciting.
Save...
Yeah, what actually happened?
Basically, after the standing, we went along, put our names down, and the guy was just like, oh, what's the name? Ifan Ashbourne, Talis Ashbourne, Keys Ashbourne. I'm getting
Dara
a running
Ashbourne.
Theme
yeah.
here. Is there a... And it was like half the list was like, or over, was all Ashbourne people.
Yeah.
And we were like, we want to fucking go and get that shit, right?
Yeah.
Pretty hyped about it. Anyway, so then what did we do? Oh, then we went, we tried to do a... We tried to do a skirmish, right?
Yes, we went down. It just we ended up waiting for ages, and I think that just the numbers didn't work.
The light
out
because
and...
England is very like obviously high up on the latitude. Is
yeah.
that? So it gets dark here in the winter really early,
yeah.
and it was not that long after it was like 8 o'clock we went down there.
Yeah.
It was already getting pretty dark.
Yeah, yeah.
And we
right.
we missed like the main Navarre skirmish group that was heading up there to go and fight.
Yeah.
So we just headed up there. We thought, I don't know how we missed them.
Yeah.
Anyway, by the time we got up there, it's really dark and we're wandering around. There's a whole bunch of, I think there were Dornish soldiers
yeah.
ready to go in. And then next to them, we end up chatting to the marchers and they're all like, all right there, hello my lover and all that stuff, like
yeah,
West
yeah,
Country
yeah,
style,
yeah.
which was, there. I, they're
marches
so cool.
are incredible.
I love them. There's some good shit about them later. But spoke to them for a bit. And then we just started hearing. And then one of the skirmishes came back, right? And it was like three or four people
yes.
running and panting and like in loose order, right? As they came through the gate. And it was just like, what the fuck is going on in there? And then we started talking to people and they were saying, oh, we heard there's wraiths in there floating around and just deading people. One hit, down.
And we'd never heard about this call called Down, which is just like, you're dead.
Yeah, did you enjoy playing that character? Because Down.
Yeah, I think it's actually like, it knocks, I think you can be revived from it and stuff, but it's basically like, you instantly drop to zero HP.
Yeah, so then they were talking about the next wave. Like, this is like proper like wave type mass, throw bodies at it. So they were like, the only way you could kill a wraith was by using an exorcism or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they were like, and I was like, can you hit it with cleave? And they were like, no. And it's like, can you impact? No. Like, you can't do anything to it. Only the exorcist can do shit. And then the only ones that in the entire mass of forces outside the gate, the three surviving exorcists from the first time they went in, we were sitting there going like, hold on. So they went in with troops and they all got massacred and they wanted to go in with the same people that led that force to go and get massacred. So we were like, and we couldn't find any Navarre. And
there was also a whole thing about being anointed and stuff like that.
Anointed.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What does that actually entail? Like,
it's basically just protects you, right?
To get anointed before the skirmish on Saturday.
Oh, is that when I got
anointed?
That's when I got anointed. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and that was another reason why we didn't stick around, because we couldn't find anyone. It looked terrible. Couldn't get anointed.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
More importantly, there was a free bar in Navarre.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So good.
A free bar.
Someone had put a free throne.
30 thrones.
30 thrones, sorry.
Oh. 30 thrones. By the end of that was actually 40 thrones. Which was paid for.
Yeah, so
40 thrones.
So how much is that? I would say like, what?
A lot, like five rings is a drink. Yeah.
So whatever your currency, just try and work that out. Let's do it in drinks, right? And then it's, okay, I'm going to, okay.
No,
I'm going to tell you. It's 10 rings to a crown. No, 20 rings to a crown.
20 rings to a crown.
Shit. Okay, and then, I know there's, is it? 10?
No, it's not. No. It's 8.
8.
Because of
eight,
the
eight kingdoms, yeah. It.
I am so easy to rip off in bars, by the way.
But
I'm like the easiest.
But no, it's a lot.
And then
drinks,
how many
crowns
to a throne?
8.
8.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. And then, so that's
a lot of drinks, dude.
Yeah.
A lot of drinks. It was basically like everyone in Navarre could get a free drink, basically. And I think get even multiple drinks. It was ludicrous.
No, I got shit-faced.
Yeah.
Absolutely bollocks. It was awesome. And I kept going up there and they were just like, hi. And they were like, Navarre, why don't you drink for free type thing? And I was just like, how far are they getting into the tab? And the guy had like a tick sheet and it was just ludicrous.
Yeah.
It was ludicrous at that stage already. I bumped into these two marchers, right?
Yeah.
One guy is like the 6'7" huge person, right? And the other person's like a normal sized person, but they're wearing scarecrow masks. Like, they're wearing like just bags over their face with like, and it's just terrifying. They looked so good. And they're like, hello. And they're really friendly, but look terrifying. And I was just like, I was kept like, oh, I'm looking scared around them. And then I was like, just started chatting to them and just being like, they're like, yeah, I don't know why people find me so scary. Like, some people get scared of me. And I was just like, ugh, like RPing, being scared. Awesome.
Amazing.
Just really cool, right? The little moments like that is what I love about that. So, songs and story.
Yeah, well, basically, I think on the Friday night, we chilled out songs and story pretty much for the...
A lot of it.
The majority of the evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a massive part of it.
Do you know what? We should smash out Unilad.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Unilad.
Yeah, because they filmed at the Friday.
Okay, so Unilad, for those that don't know, are an online kind of like, they do Facebook video, is kind of what I understand.
That's social media videoing, right?
Yes, right. Yeah. So they produce videos. They've kind of grown over like 8 years, I think it is, to be this kind of like element and like social media, right?
Yeah.
And there was, and this is a pretty fucking big deal for PD to do, right?
Yeah, they
went along and they said, we're going to have filming at LARP.
Yeah.
And needless to say, I can only imagine people lost their shit. There were lots of questions and a lot of stuff, and it was a bit uncomfortable for a lot of people. I still technically do work in the media, so I've seen the kind of dark side of reality documentaries, and I was immediately like...
Yeah, you were really skeptical of it.
Yeah, extremely skeptical. Like, I... I worked on one, and it was about people with sleeping difficulties. This is back in my 20s, right? I'll be really vague about what happened. But I went to see this old couple, and they were really nice to me, right? They always gave me a coffee, and my job was to show up with a battery pack and a recorder. And I would record this guy sleeping for a long period of time. And then I'll take it back to the office, and they would cut it up and make this like documentary about people with sleeping problems. This guy's really nice to me, but this guy would get really, really violent in the middle of the night and just start bashing things, right? He couldn't even sleep in the same bedroom as his wife because he would just go mental, right? But they were such a nice couple. I go back to the office one time, I'm dropping this stuff off, and one of the producers said to me, "So you get on quite well with that couple, don't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, they're really, really nice." And he said to me, Can you think of anything that maybe we could do a storyline where it's something in his past that he's recollecting that gives him these bad dreams?"
Wow.
And I was like,
"That's crazy."
I was like, "No, I don't know anything about it." So that's my experience with like live TV people. Now you may be saying, the hypocrisy. We do a podcast, right?
Yeah.
So we are technically doing this stuff. And let me put it this way. I trust me.
Yeah.
You don't have to. I hope that if you do trust us, then we will live up to that trust, right? Yeah. But it's like, yeah, other people, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, the people that were doing it had been LARPing before. There were people that were actually part of the company that had gone LARPing and therefore got the actual...
Yeah, I think, well, they started it as a hobby before they even thought of doing it.
Which I was, and immediately ticks my box for credibility, right?
Yeah.
So by the time the event came round, I was like, do you know what? It's 2018.
Yeah.
I don't particularly want to be involved in it. Yeah. I'm not going to step up to be involved in it. I probably won't shirk away from it, but I'll make the decision at the time and then we'll get on with it. That's where I was with it before we started.
And I think a lot of different people were in different places, but PD were very good about it. They posted up like where the filming is going to be taking place, in what situations.
And the skirmishes. And
if you want in and out of it, you can do that.
The skirmishes, they literally said to people, they're going to be filming this. Who doesn't want to be? And there were plenty of times where there was lots of people and then, like, I think there was two people stepped away.
Yeah.
Now, this is on PD and what they want to think about, right? It's not my game. I can have my feelings on it, but I completely understand those two players that wanted to not be part of that skirmish because they didn't want to be filmed, right? Yeah, of course.
And it's just like...
This isn't even me condoning or not condoning. I'm just kind of like, it's part of what this is now, you know? Yeah. I might as well just roll the dice and see what happens.
I mean, when it actually came to it, so for example, there were songs and story time on the Friday.
Yeah.
And... I didn't notice them.
I didn't see them once. And bear in mind, like, I've been around cameras for most of my adult life, and I was like, how do I not spot them in the crowd? Yeah. Well, to be fair, Songs and Storytime was fucking magical.
It's magical and captivating every time. I was going to say, because it's twofold. I think Unilad actually did a really good job of just blending in and filming very respectfully. Oh, it seemed to us. Also combined with the fact the performances were amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a way of filming it that would look good that didn't involve being really obtrusive, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what the fuck they've got, but I didn't notice. It didn't break my immersion. Yeah. It was completely fine.
And Songs and Storytime was incredible. Amazing performance again.
As always. Like, love Songs and Storytime, basically. Yeah. So good. Right.
It's quite funny because I remember when Dave was sitting there watching it. Initially, like, during the first song, it was like, yeah, I don't think this is my sort of cup of tea.
Yes.
And then, boom, just like lost into it and just absolutely...
I tell you what I think happened was, there's a guy we talked about last time who tells stories.
Yeah. I think I can say his name. I haven't spoken to him directly. I won't say his name. I do know his name. I'll tell you his name after this.
But he's a great guy.
I actually went up to him this time around on the Saturday and I just said... Hi, I listened to your Clegane story last time. It was amazing. Just want to say thank you for giving that gift of story and a game. What was his story this time? Do you remember?
So that was the thing. I was going to say, this time it was a toad and a scorpion going across a river.
And
he used this as like... So he told this story, which was basically subverted what you think is going
to
happen.
Yeah, there's a story within the story as well, where it's like he was telling the story to his kid. Yeah. And the kid's like, no, I know this story.
Yeah, but he's mettering the crowd.
Yeah.
Fuck, it's so good. The guy...
He is amazing.
He's a master of oral story technique.
Yeah.
And, like, I like story a lot, and I like telling story, but, like, what he does with the spoken word and reading the crowd is
I tell you,
magical.
It's very reminiscent of very, very good Shakespeare. You know, when you see very, very good Shakespeare and you're like, actually, just the words are taking you there.
Yeah.
Like, he's that good. He's amazing.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of what he does and how he does it. I think it's something like, you just can't, I don't know. It's thank you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
great
to
amazing,
experience
amazing.
It.
So
yeah.
Amazing.
I
think we'll probably, we just basically after that went to sleep, had a couple more drinks, I suppose.
Yeah,
yeah, we kind of, I really felt part of Navarre.
Yes.
This time round. Like, it wasn't, I didn't have to force RP ever. Like I was saying about when you're bumping into people you know, and there's a few people that we're getting to know now in the camp, right?
Mm.
And
they
remind you.
Oh, there was that lad who was going to
meet the elemental. Yeah, so there's this lovely guy called Jordan who I've been talking to with a bunch.
Is he Torn Asunder guy?
Torn Asunder, yeah.
Oh, yes, I love that guy. Yeah,
he came over a bunch of times. But before the event, you see, we'd actually been talking, and I'd been talking about how I was thinking of being a Naga, and he was thinking of being a Naga, and we'd had that interaction before. It was kind of cool. It was just nice to talk to him.
Yeah.
And then when he turned up at the event, he just sort of hung out with us. And I said, again, having that fire and having the chairs and being able to sort of come over and talk through with us, it was just great. Like, a great environment.
Yeah.
And his whole thing for the whole event was he wanted to get turned into a Naga, because there's a way of, like, going to...
He's hard out into this world that we haven't even brushed into it. I've been anointed a couple of times, right? And I've kind of had that sort of thing. But me and Priest, we have not. We never talk to each other, right?
And then there's the whole magic
game,
which,
whoom, straight down that rabbit hole, man. He's off to speak to Eternals and like give them offerings and like, you crazy? That's awesome.
I think the interesting, like when I first started, I think one of the things I definitely thought was, I will never go mage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was, because it's just, the thing is, even though I think PD do an amazing job, have done an amazing job of getting rid of that whole, you know, fireball kind of cringe factor. Me, myself, I still had that cringe factor, cringe factor. But going into the third event and seeing this time, seeing the, just the different people, their amazing performances.
I love, the guys that do it, like, I just, is it this one where they, it is this one where they get fired up. The mages, when you get a good mage who lays the fucking heat, you're like, it elevates you, it gives you RPMs, whoom, straight up, like a good one.
It's fantastic.
Oh, it's
dude.
So, I love it, right? So a lot of what they do is kind of like, they can imbue you or do all this stuff like this, but a lot of it is basically, they do something to you, and this is kind of, a lot of it's open to RP, so they will, they can do what they want. There might be four or five that are like really generic that I think people can just kind of learn very quickly and just smash through. But others, they just kind of go ham with it. And hey, if you're just go ham
with
me.
I
love it.
It tests you. It's a bit like when I do any medical stuff. I have to RP out a certain amount of time of doing medical stuff. You can't just sort of sit next to somebody then after a certain amount of time say, you're healed.
Yeah.
It's like, you actually have to roleplay that.
We're talking
out.
About it, so I'm just going to do it now. Before a skirmish we went on the Saturday, this guy imbued me, and his was ambition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, amazing.
So he picks fucking Ifan just before a skirmish. He's an ambition guy, right? So he comes up to me and he goes, what is your ambition? And all I could think of was the Conan...
What is best in life?
Yeah, is best in life? And he was just like, to drive my enemies for me on the battlefield, to hear the lamentation of their women, and like, just all of that, like Genghis Khan
this
shit.
Is why you're wielding your beast of
the
sword.
Yeah, and I'm like, just before I go into a battle, I'm like, and he starts going, so I didn't go full like, Genghis Khan, by the way, but I just go like, I want to drive my enemies before me, and get my friends home safely.
Right.
And he goes, nice caveat, because I pause when I mention my friends getting back. and he was just like, he just started this a patter of like you're going to go and do this, you're going to be fucking, I'm just like,
getting psyched up.
Fuck yeah. And I'm going like, I'm getting like, my energy levels are like, whoa! And he's like, oh my God, I've just created a monster. But he's riding this fucking wave with me. And then by the time I'm done, he goes, are you going to go? And I'm like, I'm on fire! and I just turn around like when in Dutton. I'm just like, there's the rest of the Navarre forces. The rest of the Navarre forces are completely just standing around bored, waiting for this fight. And I'm like, what? You know what I mean? Like, just, oh, I'm so fucking hyped. That's what. So good mages
are incredible.
Awesome. Love your work. Just a big fan now. That's awesome. Yeah. Right, I'm done with Friday.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with Friday.
So thank you for the free beer on the Friday. Yeah. It was amazing. We had a wonderful night's sleep.
Yeah, that plum mead is amazing.
Oh my, that plum mead is dangerous.
So dangerous.
Beware of the plum mead. It's delicious but very alcoholic.
God, it's amazing.
Stop there, Ian. Stop there. We will continue very, very soon. Well, join us next time for the LARP news.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Could you put some cold in? This is getting a tad too warm right now. No? Oh well. Well, luckily for us, the temple is slightly downhill from our current location. Can you just give me a hand with this? One, two, three! Pull yourself together! Quickly, into the temple!